And please turn this morning to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. You may remember a couple weeks ago we discussed about wisdom. I mentioned the why of wisdom, our motivation behind why we even pursue wisdom. So let's continue that today and look at another passage on wisdom in Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to read verses 7 through 9. Hear now the word of God. Listen closely to how wisdom is described and what it gives. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Amen. Absolutely amazing words here. Wisdom preserves, it promotes, it honors. An ornament of grace, a crown of glory on your head. Wow. What imagery of what we gain through the wisdom of the Lord. Once again, we saw a couple weeks ago that we don't pursue wisdom to get the good life, do we? We don't pursue wisdom to obtain some earthly, temporal gain. No, we pursue wisdom because we're pursuing God. We want Him glorified. We want our lives to be for Him, and so we glorify Him through our lives. We walk in His ways in communion with Him, and knowing that from which we've been saved and redeemed, we strive to live a life that brings Him glory. And one way this happens is by seeking His wisdom. And so our underlying motivation or our why for pursuing wisdom is to glorify God and to humbly live our lives for Him. So with that foundation, let's now dive into some other considerations of wisdom. We've discussed the why. Let's today discuss the what, the where, the who, and the how of wisdom. And those will be our 4 points today. So let's begin with, what is wisdom? What's wisdom? Wisdom, very clearly in the word, is the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Webster said it this way, the sincere and uniform obedience to God's command. So we know that there's a living out of that fear of the Lord. Wisdom is knowing God and trusting in Him, then putting that into practice in life and living for Him with knowledge and understanding. One scholar said, knowledge learns of God. Wisdom loves Him. Proverbs 9 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm sure you've all heard that. Another aspect we read of wisdom in the Scriptures is that godly wisdom, or wisdom from above, will result in good fruit. James 3 says that wisdom from God is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of good mercy and fruits, without partiality or without hypocrisy. So in summary, what is wisdom? Wisdom is life decisions made in the fear of the Lord that bear the fruits of righteousness. So secondly, let's take a look at the where of wisdom. Where do we get wisdom from? Well, first take note that, and we could probably talk all day about where to not get wisdom from, but the world and many unbelieving people are going to tell you that they have wisdom for you. In fact, they may force it upon you and you might not even be aware. You might happen in advertising or some aspect of our culture, even peer pressure, even outright declarations, the world telling us what's right and what's smart to do. Well, this is something we must be cautious of. It's certainly a snare to many Christians. So let's focus on the good places of where to get wisdom and what the good sources of it are. Let's drink from good wells of wisdom. Ultimately, we gain wisdom from God directly, don't we? From His truth through the Word. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 says it's God that gives wisdom. So we seek wisdom from God's source of His truth to us, His written Word. The more you know God, the more wisdom you will have. And one way we have come to know the Lord more is through the prayerful reading, preaching, and teaching of His Word. Secondly, wisdom comes accompanied by the Word through the conviction of the Spirit, right? So you can read the Word, and that's good. But you actually need the conviction of the Spirit that God has given us, that indwelling Holy Spirit, and that His Word directs our steps in the way of righteousness and wisdom. The Holy Spirit, as it's mentioned in John 14, it says the Spirit will bring to us the remembrance of the truths of Christ. And of course, in Galatians 5, you're probably all familiar that the Spirit convicts us to walk in such a way that bears fruit in the Spirit. But ultimately, the Spirit convicts us to the truth and the fear of the Lord, which is wisdom. And thirdly, a place that I want to camp for a little bit here is that God brings us wisdom through God-fearing people. And that He providentially puts in our life, in our path, in our proximity. So let's focus on that for a minute, and we'll talk about the who of wisdom. Who do we get wisdom from? And now, once again, remember, the primary source of wisdom is from the Word of God and from that conviction by the Spirit. But another source is from people. So who do you get wisdom from? Well, the Word makes it clear that we receive wisdom and we should get wisdom from the authorities that God has established in our life. And one of the foremost authorities is your parents. Your parents. Let me read Proverbs 6 here, 20 through 22. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak to you. So we see here it's great profit and blessing from the wisdom of God-fearing parents, isn't it? Many of you children here in this congregation, I would dare say all of you, have much wisdom from your parents that they are ready to offer you. Yet you may be tempted to go to the world or even your friends to get wisdom. But I'd implore you, go to your parents for wisdom first. God has providentially given you as their children so that God has wisdom for them to pass on to you. So here, do what the Word instructs. Take that wisdom of your parents and walk in it. It is a rich blessing. And, you know, this has always convicted me. This is what we see in Psalm 127. You know, like, you've heard the passage, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one youth. You know, notice that children, that how children are pictured here. They're not pictured as the sword of the warrior. They're pictured as arrows that go far. Farther in faith, farther in hope, farther in the knowledge of God, built on that passed on wisdom and faith from one generation to next. Of course, here we also get a picture of the ever-expanding kingdom of God, that fruitful vine that grows with each passing generation, the wisdom that's received, that's held on to, that grows stronger and stronger with each passing generation. Now, a second authority in your life that God's given you as a blessing for wisdom are the God-fearing leaders or people in your life. Maybe your disciplers or church leaders or elders. These are people that God has appointed for you and given you as a blessing with wisdom to share that you may grow. Now, thirdly, who else should you get wisdom from? Well, the Word makes it pretty clear that God-fearing people that are older than you have more wisdom than you. Yes, people that are older than you. You're all familiar. We see this in Titus chapter 2, just this principle of the older teaching the younger. But also in Job. Job 12:12 says, is wisdom not found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? And then in Psalm 71 and other psalms, we get this picture where the gray-haired or the silver-haired are given the task by God in that season of their life to declare the goodness of God to the next generation. So this is the biblical order that God establishes. The older will teach the younger. Of course, we see that in the family dynamic. We see that in the body of Christ. Because someone older than you just simply has more wisdom. They know God better. They've been through 800 more trials that have refined them, that have humbled them. And they know the value of wisdom. And so that's why from the Scripture we see that wisdom is like gold. It's described as gold. It's from these saints that have been refined. They've been purged. They've been tested. They've been proven. So it is that there's gold lying all around. And let me say to some of you young people, young adults, when this service is over and we're all kind of mingling around, I want you to know that you're walking through a gold mine. You are. You're walking through a gold mine. Now, sometimes you might walk right past the gold mine and go talk to someone that's maybe a year older than you. And that's good. They probably have a couple more sanctifying, you know, trials under their belt than you. But I would encourage you to seek the gold. Seek the gold. Don't you want to talk to someone that has 10,000 more trials under their belt than you do? And let me just throw this out. While it's good, and I think there's definitely a place for it, for all the young adults and people to go skiing together and things like that, and there's certainly a time for that. Wow, wouldn't it? What if you went skiing all day with one of these gray-haired fellows in this room? Wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't you like to hear from a man that has children and grandchildren? A man that's read the Bible 20 more times than you? Maybe an older lady that's prayed 10,000 more times than you? Been sanctified 30 more years than you? Wow! Do you see the gold? Do you see the refining? That's the amazing blessing of the body of Christ in action. You know, in any situation, we all tend to, whenever we hang out together, people of like age tend to congregate together, right? You know, people the same age, we seem to have the same interests, so we take a look at that. But let's just consider for a moment what the Word has for us. This intermingling of the ages brings a richness, doesn't it? Brings a passing on from generation to the next because it's strengthening. Let's just keep that in mind. Again, the Lord reveals His wisdom to us in the Bible through the conviction of the Spirit, through others. And God's given us Christians who are more knowledgeable in the Word of God than we are, and sometimes more experience applying it in life. They can help us see the Lord's will sometimes when we cannot. And so older people in our body here, in our church, in all churches, should be cherished for their wisdom. And we should seek relationships with them so that we might benefit from their wise counsel. And lastly, just one more on where do we get wisdom? We get wisdom from many. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety." So whenever you seek wisdom, go to maybe more than just one person. Well, number four, let's conclude with our last consideration of the how of wisdom. How do you go about getting wisdom? Well, pursuing wisdom must come through a position of humility, with a desire to glorify God, as we said a couple weeks ago. If this is your desire, then step forward in faith and pursue wisdom and get it from the right places, as we just discussed. Keep in mind that how you get wisdom is not, it's not some kind of formula, it's not a system, it's not a chore, but seek wisdom from God. Seek wisdom from above with a heart discerning to know God more and with a desire to glorify Him with your life. So go to the Word. Go to the authorities of God-fearing parents and spiritual leaders that God has appointed to you. Go to those older than you and pursue it with the right motive. Wisdom should flow from a humility and a love for God. To live a life, not for ourselves, not based on what we're wanting or thinking, but to live a life that glorifies Him. So as we enter this time of confession, may we consider our lives and the why and the what and the who and the where and the how of wisdom, and how we may glorify Him through the right pursuit of this precious gift of our God. Again, this is gold from our Lord. This is the gold that God's given us, and it is out there for us. May we not go to the sources, to those bad wells of wisdom, but may we go to the abundance that God's given us. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank You for this precious gift of wisdom that You've given us. And we confess to You today, there are times we don't pursue it from the right places. Running to Google does not have much to offer compared to the great riches and wisdom of Your Word, of that conviction of the Spirit, of the saints that You've put within proximity and put all around us. Oh, Lord, we thank You for this teaching today. And Lord, we ask that You would hear our confessions now as we take a time individually to confess before our God.